Hi, everybody. Welcome to Business Beat. I'm Ian Barrett with Aaron Hayes and David Ginsburg for WICN from the lovely Studio 50. One more week into this, the tour de force of abuse of small business. And we're going to have John from the Retailers Association of Massachusetts on in a second for a quick interview. But let's just lay out the land right now.
You know, we've created an unequal landscape. We have big box retailers like Walmart and Target, and certainly Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla of all of them. And they've been able to take advantage of the fact that all these small businesses have been shut down for 2 months and counting. You know, I know that in phase one, some stores have been able to reopen for curbside pickup, but that's not the same as having customers in your store browsing, making impulse purchases, seeing what you have. You know, the big boxes have been able to have great quarters because they've been able to fill that void. Part of me wonders, as a means to help small businesses as they reopen, every year before Christmas in the holiday shopping season, there's Small Business Saturday, and it's a very effective way for small retailers to get business in the stores. Amazon does Prime Day in July. Why can't the small businesses do a similar version of a Small Business Saturday in the summertime to make up some lost revenue that they had?
I think that's an excellent job, David. And I would go a step further and say that the separate call to action would be like, do not do Prime Day this year.
Yeah.
Go to your small business instead, and you know, have that be the small business month, for all I care.
Yeah, no, let's make it a week of Saturdays.
Yeah, the small businesses face so much. Their customers have become used to ordering from Amazon, ordering from Walmart. It's now, you know, a second nature to them. They aren't thinking about going out and purchasing from them, and that's a second hurdle that they're going to have to jump over,
right?
Getting those customers back.
The people with the smallest amount of resources. Well, we've got an expert to talk to us about that today, Aaron.
John Hurst, president of Retailers Association of Massachusetts, will be speaking with us. He and Ram have been enormous advocates of the small business landscape. John, thank you so much for joining us.
I just call it Ram because that's a lot of words, and my language skills have faded in this quarantine period. So I'm just going to call it Ram. You can call it Ram. It's easy to remember there.
That's what I do. That's perfect.
thanks for being on the show. Man, what's going on? Let's talk to us about your struggle.
It's been something. I we represent 4,000 businesses. They're 99% small businesses, small stores, small restaurants. And, you know, you went from a time when things were going really great for the end of February till they fell off a cliff. It's been a nightmare for, frankly, a lot of our members that, you know, they've been ordered to shut down. They can't connect with their customers. Therefore, you know, they have inventory and they have rent and they can't pay their rent. They can't pay for their inventory that their suppliers demand payment for. Inventory that was probably purchased 6 months ago, right? Most small businesses, there seems to be some thought process out there that they have deep pockets and small business owners are rich and couldn't be farther from the truth. If they were fortunate enough to have some level of reserves, you know, maybe they kept their employees on for a little while and the goalposts kept on moving out. So not only were they closed, but they tried to do the right thing for their employees, and ultimately they did have to furlough, virtually all of them furloughed or laid off. And at the same time, you know, other things, this was a business interruption, and a lot of them had business interruption insurance that they bought in the past because of bad experiences with hurricanes, snowstorms, and the like, and it didn't pay.
Right.
The insurance did not cover this unprecedented business interruption. You know, they had these costs going on, but they had no income coming in. They couldn't make their sales. You know, the Congress did pass the CARES Act, and the PPP really was going to help you if you still had payroll. But at 75% requirements for payroll, they're wondering whether that PPP becomes a loan and not a grant. I mean, the original hope was that it was going to be like that business interruption insurance and really a grant to help them survive for a catastrophic event that was not of their doing. And they were just following government orders that they had to be closed.
not only did they move the goalposts, but they changed the rules of the game in the middle of the game against the small business. And, you know, David feels, I feel, Aaron feels that small business is the core of the economy in the United States. I don't think it's something nice to have. I believe that small business is really how is the lifeblood of this country. And the way this things have worked out so far as I can see is that the big companies are crushing it right now. Look at Amazon, look at
Walmart. Walmart. I mean, as soon as the they had a rough couple of weeks in March, and then as soon as people started getting the stimulus money, they weren't able to go to the small businesses down the street to buy their sweatpants or whatever it was. They went to Walmart.
No pants, tops.
You're right. Sorry, no one was buying pants. Tops.
Wayfair was killing it, right?
So it's an insult to injury. Where are we now, and how can we move forward?
Right now, we're trying to just advocate. Look, we learned a lot from the so-called essential businesses that were open. Some of them were very big chains, and some of them were small companies, members of ours, whether they were convenience stores, hardware stores, small grocers, and the like. That were allowed to continue to operate, and we learned a lot about how to safely serve the customer and safely protect the employees. We're flabbergasted that, we couldn't take all that learning and apply it a little sooner to the local jeweler, a local florist shop and local furniture store. So, right now we were very disappointed with phase one, with the governor's decision that, for all intents and purposes, the stores are still closed, right? They allowed for curbside. Well, curbside is nothing more than another way to fulfill. It's not really increasing your sales. It's giving you a shot at maybe competing with some of the online sellers as an option. But, you still do not have the impulse buys. You do not have the sales of the types of products that, we might want as opposed to necessarily need right now. We've got to get the customers back into the stores and have them feel safe, and also remind them that they are 70% of the economy. The consumer is 70% of the economy, and it matters what they do and how they spend. They need to shop like jobs depend on it, because they do. And if we really do want to protect, preserve, and promote our main streets, for generations to come, we better get out there and not wait for a Small Business Saturday. We need to get out there and support these small businesses with our dollars.
Running a small nonprofit and friendly with a lot of small business owners, that this is their livelihoods. It's being taken away from them through no fault of their own, and there's no recourse for them. The PPP isn't effective. If you can't open and earn a living, you're paying employees to stay home.
Absolutely. I mean, the PPP loan, having it be so rigid, a lot of small businesses, payroll isn't 75%, rent is 75%. And so they're forced to choose between, paying their employees, paying rent, or closing. And it's absolutely unfair.
And if you order inventory before the pandemic, if you ordered a bunch of inventory post-Christmas, planning for the second and third quarter, you're still on the hook to pay for that, and you have no revenue to support the cost.
Yeah, imagine if you were a women's dress shop. And you ordered 6 months ago all your spring and summer inventory, and all of a sudden in March you were closed, and you were closed well into June. Nice clothing is not something that you frankly pick up a phone and you order online. You want to go feel, touch it, and try it on. By June, a lot of shoppers are looking for 50% off clearance sales. So not only have they not been able to sell this inventory, now when they will slowly, step by step, be able to, it's past its season, and so they've got to sell it at huge percentages off, while at the same time as they need cash flow to order their next season's inventory. It's a huge problem.
If you're going to open churches and you're going to say that that's okay, well, my God, why can't I have 5 people in my boutique? And why can't I wear a mask and have a little plexiglass thing at my counter and just let me go to work? I'm fine with that. I mean, I believe very strongly that everybody should be wearing masks. I think that that it's bad advice from some of the our political leaders not to encourage people to wear that, because that would make it a lot easier for everybody all the way around. It's not over. It's still there. It didn't disappear today. It's still out there, but we do need to move forward, but we need to move forward cautiously. So
we know things now that we didn't know 3 months ago. And one of those things, the CDC, as you get more data and you apply that, the CDC announced a couple of days ago that the likelihood of you catching the coronavirus from a surface is almost nil. So the need, we still wash your hands and sanitize things, of course. But for retailers, it's one step, it should bring them one step closer to being able to open and have people in the stores, because you're not going to get the virus from putting your credit card into a machine or grabbing something with a hanger on it that someone else touched 20 minutes ago. So as again, new information comes along, the policies have to adapt almost in real time, because it's people are getting crushed. To Ian's point, the state's getting crushed because revenues are going to be non-existent for the first half of the year. How do we apply this and act quickly and not be deliberating? I know Mayor Walsh and Governor Baker, it's a slow, deliberate process, and you get dribs and drabs of information. They've got to move much faster and get stores, get the economy, get these stores open safely again. I'm not denying the fact that we need to be careful. Of course, we've got to be careful. But there's a way to do this that can accelerate beyond curbside pickup for retailers and allow them to start earning a living again.
We made a big deal heading into Mother's Day weekend or that week. You know, we were, again, the only state at that point that didn't allow fulfillment in general, just phone orders and internet orders just out of a locked store. Because we had florists that, frankly, were going to go out of business, they thought they were going to be open when, you know, we talked about the moving goalposts. You know, they thought they were going to be open on May 5th. So they ordered all these flowers for Mother's Day, which they weren't going to be allowed to sell. So they did allow for the closed store fulfillment. Okay, finally, we were literally the last state in the entire country that allowed that. The other thing that we asked for is, what about just by appointment only? I mean, if you're a young couple that want to go into a locked jeweler and pick out their wedding bands, you know, you're not going to do that online. You know, same thing with clothing, same thing with furniture. And again, all these suggestions that we threw out were not adopted, and we continue to be two steps behind. So we're wondering, frankly, where we'll be for phase two on June 8th. I hope they don't just give us by appointment only. I mean, it's like we continue to be two steps behind everybody. I hope they allow these small businesses to open with social distancing, which, you know, generally speaking, you can do the 6 feet with 8 people per 1,000 square feet. Or maybe 50% of your fire occupancy, something, whether you're a store, a restaurant, let's get these small businesses open safely, and let's make sure that the consumer understands that they can be served safely and be protected, and that it's also important that they spend locally.
John, thank you for coming on and sharing your plight with us and sharing the struggle of the small retailer in Massachusetts. Please come back on the show and talk to us about where things are. Obviously, we want to be an advocate for you and the other people in this business. And we really appreciate you taking your time out to come on the show today and telling us how things are.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
I feel like that kid in the picture that we showed again after hearing that. It doesn't even sound like there's any hope on the horizon there. They're like praying for June 8th. Man, that's a while off.
It is. And, you know, there's such a lack of clarity, and even in phase one, that, you know, some stores can open, some can't, some have restrictions, some don't. You know, I certainly understand, I mean, not that I have seen a hairdresser in 15 years, but the need for, you know, to be up close. But why can't jewelry stores open, whether it's by appointment or by limiting the number of customers in the store at a given time, whatever the case may be? A lot of restaurants are applying for outdoor permits to serve outdoors, so at least they can start getting some activity going, because as we well know, restaurants run on thin margins anyway. Food costs have gone up. They're, you know, they can't make it on just takeout and delivery as much as we root for them. It's a lot of your favorite restaurants aren't coming back. This has been the death knell for them, and it's very sad.
Cushman Wakefield is a company that helps advise businesses on how to do interiors and whatnot. And they have the new socially distanced office. And you're walking in the morning, you hit your hand sanitizer, you grab your desk mat. He was walking around with it in the beginning. I'm like, why is that guy walking around with a piece of paper? I was like, is that, he gets one piece of paper to write on all day? That's his mat for his computer. And at the end of the day, that gets thrown away. And then there's everybody walks in one direction around the office. And then you have those circles which I'm seeing on the beach now. I'm seeing that out on patios. You know, if we're going to go to this effort to build this infrastructure, it might just stay. And if you're talking about building your office, because no one's going to want an open floor plan office again, I'll tell you that right now. So you're going to have to probably adopt these things, because I don't know what people think, but it's not over. It didn't disappear.
It's not over, and these steps aren't going to hurt. The flu is something that it affects people every year. This will help prevent many flu cases.
Yeah, and the deaths that the flu causes, correct? Yeah.
I actually think it's going to help productivity in that I've worked in open office plants and it sucks. It just, you're totally exposed. There's no privacy at all, and it's difficult to really get work done. It's going to cut down not only on the coronavirus, but the regular flu and colds and the other things that get passed around in those environments. It also may make it more productive in that people aren't constantly coming up behind you and saying, hey, you got a second? Or coming up to your desk and saying, hey, let me show you something. Or just they sidle up because they want to chat, because that's the human nature. It's going to make it a bit more productive in the office itself.
You know, this is a big forward-thinking company talking about how you make those downtown, very high-dollar offices work in the future. And if they start investing that way, I mean, open floor plan was something that sort of rolled, you know, out to all of us, you know, put more seats in those high dollar footprints.
That's what the open offices were all about. We're just being able to get more butts in seats. And that's no longer the game. I want to just look at it as it's a positive thing. I feel like there's a divide here where some people are looking at an innovation like this and they only see the negative, the dark side, that we're doing this because of coronavirus. I want to look at this and say this is an incredible way to innovate, to bring your workers back into a place where they can feel safe and where they will actually, they'll be healthier. They will, you know, say, you know, mom goes to work and she brings back someone else has the flu. She brings it back. She accidentally makes her kids sick. I mean, that's not going to happen in this kind of situation.
And when you invest in those employees, keeping your employees healthy is part of your doing business properly. Let's jump forward here and talk about somebody who's not doing great right now.
Someone who maybe didn't innovate.
And somebody you may not, I know this is not one of your stores that you go to, but Victoria's Secret closing 250 stores.
Don't be so sure.
Yeah.
We've talked about Victoria's Secret for a while. I mean, they are a company that they've been struggling for literal years. They've completely missed an entire section of females who do not feel that they need to be objectified the way Victoria's Secret objectifies their models, objectifies their clothing, and they were struggling anyway because the millennials weren't buying Victoria's Secret. They had struck a deal so that they could break Victoria's Secret out with, I forget the name of the company, of Sycamore Partners in February. That was supposed to go through.
Yeah.
That
didn't happen.
That didn't happen. Completely, the contract was voided, and now they're looking to close 250 stores. Not because of coronavirus.
Changing times. Really, really poor management. Really poor management. You know, at the end of the day, Victoria's Secret is a poorly run business. This now creates a vacuum. Because it's not like people don't consume the product, they do. So now here's a vacuum. If I'm a smaller business, I know they're gone, I'm gonna go get that business. And someone who's already capitalized on this business is Rihanna with her Fenty X brand, which is a subscription model, which is online, which means you pay for monthly and it comes to your house, so you don't have to go to the store. And this preceded coronavirus by 6 months. So that's a big winner against somebody who is just trying to keep the old brick and mortar going despite their stupidity. I mean, let's be frank. Let's just be honest about it.
And it's also, they never evolved. It was always, they were so stuck in the brand of what it was in the late 80s and early 90s, they never evolved beyond that. To Aaron's point, which is great, in that for women that don't want to be objectified, there's nothing at Victoria's Secret for them.
I mean, you can get sweatpants with Victoria's Secret written on your butt, but like at a certain point, at a certain age, I will say my age, it's no longer, it's not a look I want to be wearing.
And they lost the fashion show to CBS. I mean, they're just like the way they're marketing, it's just ridiculous. So,
but goodbye. Yeah, you have to evolve, otherwise you don't survive.
Yeah, right. So vacuum now, but I see this as an opportunity. I think this is a disruption. I think this is an opportunity for somebody there. Local farms have seen a surge in demand. Man, that makes me happy.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
Because people need to source from some other place. We talked about how Tyson has got a stranglehold on meat production in this country, And, you know, they mismanage it. People are dying, and they opened right back up again, and people immediately got sick again. And there are no restrictions, no guidelines for how this gets done. What the hell is going on here, man? The good news is people are saying, guess what? I'm going to skip the Tyson chicken. I'm going to go find the local and I'm going to go buy from the local farm. So people walk right up to the counter and say, what's from here? What's local?
The percentage is great. I mean, it says New England, Boston Globe ran this article. New England farms have seen an increase of sales of up to 500%.
To that point, there was a story in the Globe over the weekend about a farm in Sudbury that has, you know, is barely breaking even. They supply a lot of restaurants, Oleana and Anna Sorto's restaurant, her husband's farm. So they were doing okay, but they're barely breaking even and then supplying the restaurants. Now their business is up like 1,000% because they're selling locally direct to consumers, and people are flocking there to get the fresh vegetables and produce that's there. They're going to have their best year ever, which is great for them.
Local economy, local employees, you know, that's a good thing. It sucks for small business right now, but I also think that this is going to break big bad companies up as well.
I'm really hoping so. We've said it before. Your power in this country is your the way that you spend. And yeah. I'm so happy to hear that people are flocking to these farms and looking for alternatives that are local that will support the local economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and beyond that they're recognizing where the food actually comes from in the supermarket. Because before, you'd kind of blithely walk by and go, oh, look, chicken thighs are on sale, I'm going to stock up. Now it's like, you know, where are those made? For some of us, it's like, are those workers being exploited because of their skin tone and where they come from? So they're going to be thrown into pens side by side, and they don't care if they get sick. The company doesn't care if they get sick. Now we're much more conscientious of, where does this come from? Is this local? Is this humanely produced? Are the workers treated fairly?
And grocery stores will take note of that. I will tell you, if something's not selling, they're not putting it in a store, because every square inch of a grocery store is thought out in so much detail, I can't even get into it for you. If it's not selling, the grocery store is going to get rid of it. So I think we're going to see some social change, because the consumer, you need to give the consumer what they want. And right now what they want is, they want healthy, they want now, and they want to support people that are from here. Let's jump into another big business, which is flight. Immunity passports, unexpected border closings, and no carry-ons.
Yeah, no carry-ons. That horrified me.
If we don't allow carry-ons anymore, doesn't it make it faster to actually board the plane and get people
in
seated
and out.
Take
yeah,
off?
Exactly.
No, it's absolutely true.
So let's guess what? I'm not against that. I'm actually cool
no, I'm
with
good
that.
With that.
I think that, you know, and
I want to get
sorry.
My mind's been changed.
I'm going to be fine with that. But I don't think there is an immunity passport. You're going to have to wear something on the plane, and they're going to have to put plexiglass dividers on these things. This nonsense that Aer Lingus and that Ryanair and EasyJet and United are running, where they're jamming these planes.
You're standing nose
right
to nose.
And
to
what
people.
Are you doing, man? You can't, retailers here can get, what, 10% of their business, but you get to jam the planes again? Yeah, no way, dude. No. So that's, you know, another, we'll see where this lies. I'm not going to get on a plane for a little while. I'll tell you that. I'm waiting. Want to move to another story that we've been following from the very beginning, which is the 5G. 5G causes coronavirus, people burning down 5G towers. Coronavirus has affected China's reputation throughout the world. And let me tell you something right now. We are like days away from some major dust-up between Australia and China right now, because they are going at each other's throats right now. Now China is going to start blocking imports from Australia. Australia has blamed China from the very beginning about this. They call them the Chinese Communist Party every time they talk about them, so you know the angle they're coming from. And there's no question that China wasn't transparent. There's no question that the WHO plays nice with China because they want China's support. Taiwan had the best response to coronavirus and their technique. And yet the WHO refused to talk about Taiwan and how Taiwan did it, because they didn't want to upset China. So there's a lot going on. And we mentioned last week that India might become the manufacturing capital because people don't want to manufacture in China right now. Watch what happens now, because the 5G network, all of a sudden, Boris Johnson, a light goes off in his head. And all of a sudden now the British Telecom is not going to use 5G for their wireless networks in England. And this was a big deal. This was a very big deal.
They're not going to use Huawei as the provider.
Right.
They're going to.
Right.
And Huawei's advertising everywhere. Huawei's a front for the Chinese government. So of course the concern is if you allow Huawei to put in your 5G infrastructure, that the Chinese government is now eavesdropping on every cell phone call in that country, which is probably quite likely. So the concern is valid. There's a reason that Huawei is banned in the U.S.
I agree with, listen, I'm fine with that because I absolutely agree with you. There's no question that that they put a backdoor on that. And there's no question that China has that because China wants the control. They want the control over Tibet. They want the control over Hong Kong. You just see right in the middle of this pandemic, they lay all these restrictions on Hong Kong. Are you out of your mind? It's like they think that this is the time to go in hard. So let's talk about the money. China is an important trading partner. They own a lot of our debt. You know, there's a lot going on here. This is not a simple on button, off button situation. What's going to happen right now? The situation with China, the way this got handled, the WHO, Hong Kong, China, I mean, Taiwan, you know, this is all getting, and 5G is all one thing.
China wants to move the financial center from Hong Kong to Shanghai and Shenzhen in interior China. And they're betting that the world isn't going to fight back on their push against what they're doing in Hong Kong right now, because they have so many international banking firms that are there, that they're not going to upset the apple cart, so to speak. So they're making this aggressive move during the pandemic. It's strategically, it's actually kind of brilliant if you think about it. It's just pure evil. But it's still a brilliant strategic move. And they're betting the world's not going to push back on them too hard, as long as they maintain appearances of not cracking down too hard on the citizenry that may protest again.
Listen, Russia's not happy with China either right now because they just saw their worst week last week.
Yeah.
They're allegedly over the top right now. So they don't have a ton of friends in the world right now. So I'm just going to pay attention to it because it's all connected. But, Boris Johnson changing his opinion on that seems like a big indicator for me that things are not going China's way right now in the world of economics. The last thing I want to mention on the story was, as we open up, we were talking about ignorance is bliss. I don't know if people just thought the good weather made coronavirus go away, and that, you know, that we just suddenly stopped wearing masks, and just because the store that you can go to a restaurant now, that you can just forget everything that we've been doing for the last 8 weeks. One hairstylist infects 91 customers. One hairstylist infects 91 customers. Wow, how many more of those can we take?
Yeah, take my advice, folks. Just shave your head at home and stop going to your hairdresser entirely. It's going to make it way easier, and you'll save a ton of money.
It's okay to want to go out, and it's okay to feel a little claustrophobic and to venture out with a mask. Stay 6 feet away. Wash your hands. Don't be jumping on other people's backs at the beach.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just you have to continue to be smart. Go out, but be smart.
Right.
I go hiking a lot on the weekends with my dog, and we hit the woods. I'm still wearing a mask that I pull up when people are around, but be cognizant of other people on the trail. Move out of the way, stay 6 feet apart. It's not that difficult to do. You're outdoors. You just wait a second, let people pass, let them get 10 feet ahead of you, and then stay behind. It's not that hard.
That's all we have time for on this week's show. I wish we could have been better news, but I think that it's, I think that we just have to go with the flow every single week and kind of, you know, check the temperature. And I think this week is a little bit of confusion, a little bit of disappointment, and I think that's fair to say.
But for small businesses, know that we're out there advocating, and that there are people who are advocating for you. And you know, please shop at a small business.
Sweet. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks to you. And I want to also thank our wonderful intern, Ella Zimmerman, who is also preparing all our notes for the show now. I want to thank David from WICN and Studio 50 for hosting us. Myself is Ian Barrett and Aaron Hayes. Thanks for watching Business Beat with us this week. And we will catch up with you all again next week.